Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting faith with life.
Here we are again on Connecting Faith. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'm Neil Stavem. Enjoy the opportunity to get together with you each and every weekday. And Joe Bender on Friday on this very same spot, and having great conversations. And today will be no exception. I'm really excited to welcome back a good friend of the ministry. And before we introduce him, I just want to say that we are getting close to the end of our fiscal year here at Faith Radio. And if you are have been a longtime supporter, or if it's maybe it's been a while since you've gotten involved financially, your maybe catch-up pledge, your summer gift would mean a lot to us right now to help us sort of finish off the fiscal year. You can give online. It's myfaithradio.com. Just want to encourage you to check that out. And also, too, just a reminder that we're in the midst of our partnership effort with FEBC during the month of June. And your $30 gift will help place a solar-powered radio in the hands of someone who will use it to hear God's word. And it's an amazing outreach. I've been telling some wonderful stories about that. So you can find out more about that online as well. And thank you in advance for jumping in that area. Today we're going to talk about one of the maybe unattended to problems in our society. There are many. And you know, while the headlines in the news probably spend a lot of time talking about ISIS or something, we have a crisis right in our own backyards, literally, for many of us around the Faith Radio Network, all across the upper Midwest. And we're going to have a guest who has a passion and a love for God's word, for sharing the gospel, and for First Nations people, especially. Ron Hutchcraft is back with us today. Ron's a veteran of youth and family work, president of Ron Hutchcraft Ministries. He's also involved in ongoing ministry outreach to Native Americans, founder of the Eagle's Wings Native Ministry. He's authored several books. You hear him on the radio broadcast of Word With You, you and thousands of others across 50 or more countries, I think. And again, Ron's passion is to see lost people find Christ. And so we want to just hear a bit about his heart for Native American youth. Ron, welcome back to Connecting Faith.
Thank you, Neil. It's always good to be on with a veteran. You a veteran, man.
Well, that's right. Yeah, we're both, we've taken that line out of the bio about how many years we've been doing this. But
let's not go there. We're seasoned with all the wisdom that goes with it, right?
Or something, yes, or yeah. Hair loss. But,
let's go with that.
On the other side of the ledger, it's young kids that are choosing suicide. In fact, I cut out on my local paper back in May an article coming out of the New York Times, Julie Bosman from New York Times, and I thought I'll read just a sentence or two. It says, it's a few days before Christmas, and Santana Janice, a 12-year-old Lakota, decided that she didn't want to live anymore. She's a bright, outgoing girl. Her mood had turned to dark. She lives in a derelict two-bedroom trailer with her grandfather and as many as a dozen siblings and cousins. Her mother's an alcoholic, was an intermittent presence in her life. Their town was torn by drinking, fighting, and violence. Her grandfather overhears her talk about suicide. He calls her other grandfather. They sit her down and say, "Please promise, Grandpa, you'll never do that." And he says, she gave me that big, beautiful smile and said, "Okay, Grandpa." And 6 weeks later, she takes her life. And since December, the Pine Ridge Reservation has had 9 people between the ages of 12 and 24 die of suicide. Many others have tried. And, the idea that children age 12 would be taking their life, I mean, it's almost beyond our ability to fathom that. Ron, what's going on? There have been at least 100 attempts between December and March in Pine Ridge alone.
You know, the hospital there, the report is that the hospital on the Pine Ridge Reservation had treated 241 young people under the age of 19 in a 3-month period of time who had either contemplated, attempted, they planned, attempted, or committed suicide. Now, this is, even by reservation standards, has been a real epidemic and hugely alarming, and so much so that Now, we go out every summer with a team of Native Americans to reservations. We'll talk about that shortly. In Native American young people turning out to be the best messengers of hope to their generation. But we just kind of pushed the emergency button, put together as quickly as we could a team of about 20, and we went to Pine Ridge in a month of April, had the privilege of being with about over 500 Pine Ridge young people, and there was a wonderful turning to Christ among some who just lost somebody who committed suicide and might very well have been a future statistic. And I will tell you this, that the prayers of God's people were mobilized across the country, because this particular situation got national attention. By the way, that is extremely rare for the tragedy that's going on reservations across this continent that goes on daily. It is mostly invisible. It takes this massive, horrible epidemic to really get anybody to even know anything's going on. Most of it is happening. We'll never hear about it, but we see it all the time. But, you know, thank God the prayer, I believe this, that the prayers that were mobilized across the country actually have started to cause at least that particular epidemic for this particular stretch of time to really subside. And we're grateful that life is winning over death right now at Pine Ridge. I will tell you that the suicide rate among Native American young people nationally is 3.5 times that of the rest of the kids in America. But beyond that, we will go to reservations this summer where that rate is 7 times to 10 times that of the rest of the young people in America. Now, if you take any of our towns that we live in, where you live, Neil, where I live, if there was one suicide, you know, the whole town would be just very alarmed. What if there were 2 or 3? But when you have them become not routine, but so horribly common, that it's like another one. Well, yeah, there's been another one. It's always tragic. But this story is repeated on so many reservations. I've been reading up on the reservations we're going to go to this summer, and the same is true there. But let's wrap this up, this part, by saying this. This is the tip of an iceberg of a history and of a present that has robbed an entire people group of hope. And they are not a hopeless people. They're an incredible people. But they are a people without hope. And those are not my words. Those are the words of one of our young Apache leaders who said, "My people are not a hopeless people, but they are a people without hope." And the great tragedy is that for my brothers and sisters in Christ across this continent, just like me for many years, we know nothing about the greatest youth tragedy on the continent.
It makes us wonder, as we perhaps, you know, drive by those areas in our country where First Nation people live but don't really think too much about them. This is, you know, I guess to think about young children turning to suicide, I mean, that to me, that seems like that's a pretty huge issue in terms of despair, right, that you would get to that point, that they think there is no other solution, no other way out.
Well, think about this. I mean, what's the strongest instinct in a human being, Neil?
Yeah, to live, isn't it?
Survival, yeah. Exactly. The survival instinct has been wired into us by our Creator. We'll fight. We'll go to 20 doctors. I mean, we'll do anything to stay alive, to survive. For us to give up our survival instinct and to say, I will take my own life, there is a tremendous level of despair. And any suicide is a tragedy. But when it becomes a young suicide, and when it becomes so much greater than any across anywhere else among any other people group in the country, couple that with rates of sexual violence against women that are 2.5 times greater than any other women in America, when you look at the rates of sexual abuse and drug abuse and alcohol abuse, and the poverty on many reservations, and education that many times does acts like you won't have a future, doesn't prepare you for a future, and the fact that you've not known virtually anyone who has gotten out of what seems like there's no walls around a reservation or around an urban Native community, as you're familiar with in your part of the country too. but you feel like you're trapped, and as if there are walls. And it is a tragedy we need to be talking about. But I'm glad to report that there is hope as well. But you have to understand a little bit of the history that got us here, understand why only 4% of Native Americans, according to the missions research, know Christ after 400 years of effort to introduce them to Christ. No group in America has had a longer missions history than Native. They were the first mission field in America, end of the last missions frontier. 400 years later, there are reasons for that.
We'll talk about those reasons. We'll talk about the hope. We'll talk about On Eagle's Wings and the great outreach going on this summer. In fact, starting with some very important training here in just a week or so. We'll get to all that in just a minute or so with Ron Hodgecraft. Ron of Ron Hodgecraft Ministries, and he has a heart for Native Americans, First Nations peoples, founders of On Eagle's Wings. Author of several books, including The Battle for a Generation, A Life That Matters, Call to Greatness. You hear him on A Word with You, and we invite you to join the conversation today in our discussion here on Connecting Faith. It's 877-93-FAITH. That's 877-933-2484. Stay tuned. Nation is really in a battle. It's not just the nation, but the world is seeing a battle where evil is raising its ugly head or heads, and we as God's people need to be on the front lines, shining the light. So we're talking about a particularly difficult area to reach, and yet a nation that has our people of hope, if they have heard the hope of the gospel. And Ron Hodgecraft has been leading a team that's been doing that for a number of years, veteran in youth and family work and evangelist and author. We hear him on A Word with You daily here on Faith Radio. He's on with us today to talk about the ministry On Eagle's Wings. It's a ministry to First Nations people from all around the United States. And we're getting a report on the great outreach that they have every summer. We'll tell you a bit more about that in detail. But Ron, you mentioned just before the break, talking about, you know, it's been 400 years of missionary effort and what, 4% or so committed to Christ. So what was it maybe that we missed or have missed along the way that there has been so little maybe response? And you'd think that there would be some natural tie-ins, right? Because there's a Native Americans have what they're instinctively spiritual in many ways, right?
Very. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, you're right. Native Americans are a deeply spiritual people. Their spirituality is more holistic a lot of times than the rest of American folks. But you see it as it's part of your whole life, not a compartment. But the history is that largely, and to summarize it very quickly, much of what they have lost, their land, their language, their lives, was done in the name of Christianity. And so, obviously, Jesus cannot be our friend. He must be our enemy. And then most of the messengers of that message for centuries have been, look like me. And my tribe's very pale. Yeah. So you've got that kind of reinforces what is now the tragic lie that Native Americans have been led to believe, and that is that Jesus is the white man's God. Now, as a matter of fact, and this is part of the exciting hope story, is that when a team of Native Americans goes to the reservation, their message includes the fact that they have walked the same trail as these young men and women. They have been the abuse victims. They have been the almost suicides. They have been the violent. They have been the gang members. They have been the addicted. And they have this tremendous story to tell, but the one who changed their life is a man that most believed to be the white man's God, who turns out that he was a brown-skinned man, actually, if skin color really matters. He was a brown-skinned Mediterranean Jew, hello. He didn't have blonde hair and blue eyes. And he was a tribal man. He came from a tribe, just like our team members identify the tribe they're from. He's Judah. And he grew up in a village. He grew up among a ceremonial people. He grew up poor. He lived most of his life poor. He was homeless. He lived on land that had been taken over by others, the Romans. He loved nature. He loved to tell stories like the elders do. And he died a violent death. Well, that sounds like the reservation and many urban communities across the country that where Native Americans are. It's like, this is not a white man's God. And in fact, God so loved the world, and he didn't leave Native Americans or First Nations people out of that. So when they come with that message, and it's a real wake-up call, because a lot of times it's been the package that Native Americans have rejected, not the product. And I don't mean that this be taken wrong, but if Jesus is the real deal, if he is the product, so to speak, if he's the real essence of Christianity, and he is, because Jesus didn't come to start a religion called Christianity. He came to be the rescuer for all of us lost people, because we're all without hope for this life and for eternity without him. There's no race that's immune from that. And his death and his resurrection mean that the greatest love in the universe is within your reach, proven on a cross. The greatest power in the universe is within your reach, proven on an empty in an empty tomb on Easter morning. And he walked out of his grave so we could walk into our lives. And that message resonates with Native American people when the package it comes in, so to speak, the messenger, is somebody who's walked their trail and is one of them. So, but the history is pretty tragic of how we got here. And first of all, there were about 10 million Native Americans estimated when Columbus came, and then by 1900, Neil, there were 200,000 left of a people who once were 10 million. Almost the genocide of a people, followed by the boarding schools, which took families apart, picked up children, took them across the country, cut their hair, dressed them like little white boys and girls, and punished them severely if they spoke a word in their own language. You will learn English. And this disrupted the entire generational chain within Native families across this country. And we made alcohol very readily available as a sedative to sedate a people, in many cases, who had fought us and fought for their land and fought for their heritage. And so consequently, now alcohol becomes the great pain reliever. Now drugs, meth gangs, the drug cartels have targeted Native Americans as an addiction-prone people. It's just because of a great history of pain, a present that is full of pain, so much grieving, so many funerals, so many fresh graves, and so many young people in those graves. You could easily get depressed about it, except when you understand that there are now, I have been an eyewitness to this, Neil. I have watched thousands of Native Americans give their hearts to Christ in the middle of their reservation, right on the basketball court. And guess where I was? I was not out preaching. I was not the guy with the microphone. I was in the bus praying for a team of 60 Native American young people who are a bus full of miracles. And their lives just have touched the lives of Native American young people in a way that I do not believe there has been this kind of a response to the good news about Jesus in anything I can find in 400 years of missions history. They're making history, and isn't it just like God that the ones he would use for a historic breakthrough are from the very generation that everybody says is just a hopeless generation. Really, you turn them loose with Jesus and watch what they can do.
Wow. Tell me a little bit more about these warriors on Eagle's Wings ministry. You have warrior summits preparing these kids to go back out. But is it a challenge for them to go back to their their own neighborhoods, if you will, and, you know, to maybe face some of the skepticism. Talk a little bit about, you know, the kind of courage it takes for them to go back and share their changed life.
Well, you know, for a while we were developing a discipleship really agenda for Native American young people, which could not be like you do for all, you know, the typical church youth group kid on the corner in the youth group in the suburbs. The issues are so very intense, and you are so alone and so lonely and isolated. And so we began to say, how can we help these young men and women be disciples for life, permanent disciples of Jesus Christ? Because there's so many buttons to push in them, to bring them down from all the stuff that's happened to them and around them in their lives. They're just so vulnerable. So as that began to happen, we're like, well, wait a minute. So we have this team that's now, say, 60 young people this summer. Great. But there's a whole lot more Native American young people out there who need to hear the same stuff. That's how a Warrior Leadership Summit, National Native Youth Discipleship Conference, was born. And it started out with about 50 Native young people. Now, realize, to have Christian Native young people is unheard of together. I mean, it's just it hasn't been done. And now to have hundreds and hundreds of them together from, well, last year representing about 83 different tribes, imagine. Now these young men and women each potentially become what the woman of Samaria, the woman at the well in the Bible, became for her people. Jesus did not go into that Samaritan village as a Jewish guy who probably would not have been welcomed and start to reach people. He eventually went there when they came and asked him to, but he sent a Samaritan back, and they listened to a Samaritan. And the Bible says many of them believed in him because of the woman's testimony. Well, now when you have these young men and women come to Warrior Leadership Summit, and Neil, we hit straight on with many of the speakers being Native speakers. We hit straight on the issues that they face, and how in the world do you have Christ and face those things? How do you go back and be alone sometimes as the only one who is choosing to follow Messiah Jesus? Well, it is a youth conference like none other. And, you know, I've been in massive youth conferences and spoken for them, had the privilege to be in them across the country and around the world. And of all the powerful ways I've seen God show up, I have never, ever seen anything more Book of Acts-like, more powerful than how he shows up at Warrior Leadership Summit. It's a place to bring your Kleenex. It's quite a gathering. It's coming up, and we leave in 5 days for it.
Just a couple of minutes, we'll come back and get some more details about that. Encourage you to sign up for the Hope for Native America prayer kit and get more encouragement. Hope for a seemingly hopeless situation. We'll hear about some amazing young men and women that are warriors for Christ. Ron Hutchcraft talking with us today. We're talking about On Eagle's Wings. And you can join the conversation. Your comments or questions at 877-93-FAITH. You're listening to Connecting Faith, 32 past the hour. Ron Hutchcraft is my guest today. Ron's passion is to see lost people find Christ. There's a huge mission field in our neighborhoods. I mean, we know that, but maybe don't realize it. First Nations people on reservations, average expectancy, life expectancy of Native Americans, 44 years compared to 74 for the national average. Native Americans have a 1 in 10 chance of being a victim of violent crime. 1 out of 3 First Nations people live beneath the poverty line. Native Americans have the highest rates of alcohol abuse, drug abuse, and suicide in the country. And yet there is hope, and the message of the gospel is being sent out in powerful ways through warriors. Literally, they really are warriors. There's a gathering coming up, a training session coming up here in just a week or so called the Warrior Leadership, Native Leadership Summit, and it's a ministry of On Eagle's Wings. Ron Hutchcraft is the director, founder of that. Tell us more, Ron, about kind of what happens in this training. You said we're sending these young people out to to carry the gospel message, but I'm sure that, you know, we need to pray for them especially too, because, you know, with the representing Christ, I mean, they're going kind of heading straight. They're on the front lines of the darkness, aren't they?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, and I actually, let me just say this, that prayer for any ministry to Native America is not optional. It is not supplemental. It is decisive. It will decide literally the outcome of the battles. This is so supernatural. That's why we have got a prayer kit that I am so anxious to get in the hands of somebody who's heart is with us right now. You, God has touched you, and you've opened your heart. God bless you for opening your heart to Native American young people. It happened to me 23 years ago, and I've never been the same. And so we want to equip people to pray, and there's so much more about warrior leadership. Some of it about on Eagle's Wings, about the issues with Native young people. There's the hope stories of our team members. All of that is in a DVD that will take you right to a reservation with the team. And that's at HopeForNativeAmerica.com. So if you go to HopeForNativeAmerica.com, you're going to find Hope for Native America. And I just invite you to pick up a prayer kit. Now, when you talk about spiritual darkness, of course, the spiritual darkness is working in every community all over the world as the unseen war for human souls goes on between the forces of heaven and the forces of darkness. But certainly on the reservation, there is a the traditional, the people from the traditional religion will tell you there's an awareness, though it's not talked about much, that there even is a spirit of suicide, literally an embodied strange being who appears in an incarnate form. Now, someone might say, well, that's freaky. I can't go there. That sounds like something out of Hollywood. But the fact is, if you read the Word of God, which pulls the curtain back on the supernatural world, that so affects our world that we can see, you know, we find out that these demons were angels, and so they have the ability. We know that angels appeared in human form throughout the Bible in a way that they could communicate to humans. And so that's not a big deal for an angel to be able to take on that persona. And when I said earlier that the strongest instinct is the survival instinct, how do you talk somebody out of that? Well, Jesus said about the devil, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And I believe that is his agenda for Native American young people. And he would love to steal them, kill them, or destroy them one way or another. And before we're done, I might tell you, I think there's a hint in the Bible as to even why that might be. But and he's very active, I believe, on reservations and in Native urban communities. You have a people who are deeply spiritual, who have for centuries summoned the spirit world. But we know that there is a spirit world that Jesus is the gateway to. And then there's another spirit world out there. And when you summon the spirit world, and it is not through Jesus, it's biblically likely and probably it is a fact that what you get is not what you hoped you'd get. The devil, the Bible says, comes as a minister of light. So he doesn't come in and say, hello, I want to destroy you. Who's going to do that? But he comes in promising good things. And in the pursuit of health and healing and you know, prosperity and fertility and whatever it is, good crops, you summon the spirits around you. And so often that opens a door that has brought a great deal of pain and darkness to many people, not just Native people, but perhaps more commonly there. And so you're right. This is where prayer comes in, that we know that Jesus said, the one who is greater in you, being himself, is greater than he that is in the world. So the winner in all of this is Jesus. But you must go in covered with Jesus, talking about what he did on the cross, because in his death on the cross and the blood that he shed there, the power of darkness has been broken. In the words of Scripture, it says that he made a public spectacle of the principalities and authorities triumphing over them by his cross. And the Son of Man, the Bible says, has come to destroy the works of the evil one. But I can tell you this, Neil, there are many times during this summer and every summer of hope when I will cry out and say, Lord, you know those people who said they would pray for us? Please get them praying right now, because this whole thing is at stake right now. And what could be the greatest hope moment for these young people is at stake. And I know that prayer will win the battle. And I have seen the most amazing victories. I have seen storms over and over again, storms that should have come in and wiped out our entire events, stopped for 2 hours, holding off just beyond the reservation, and then coming when we were done. There are just so many miracles. And so I really ask God's people to rise up and become a prayer force. It's like the air power that you send in before the ground troops go in. And they're the air power that gets everything ready. And if enough people will pray, there will be tremendous hope victories on 11 reservations this summer and on the reservations represented at Warrior Leadership Summit, where every year lives are miraculously transformed like I've never seen young people's lives transformed. Most of our team members, you say, well, where did all these warriors come from that go on these teams? Most of them had their encounter with Jesus Christ at Warrior Leadership Summit, came without him, left with him, and now are becoming hope for their people.
We're talking about the Summer of Hope. Ron Hutchcraft will be going with the team, some 60 strong or so, going across the country to various reservations. And I know we don't talk specifically about where, but give us a sense, Ron. And by the way, it's hopefornativeamerica.com. That's where you can sign up, become part of the prayer, the air power prayer team. But what happens at when you go to a reservation? Are you received readily? And just give us a sense of kind of what it, is it a couple of days at a time, or what happens?
Well, that's a great question. When the team arrives, they're amazingly well received because they're native young people, and most reservations have not seen a team like this. Have not seen, here's maybe young people from say 30 different tribes. You got everything from Apache to Ojibwe to various branches of the Sioux Nation, the Navajo, Hopi, Eskimos who live 400 miles from a road. They live next to the Bering Sea. And so, first of all, that's pretty fascinating in itself when they come to your community. And they go door to door and they do give a personal invitation in their team shirts. And here's the young people from three different tribes coming to your door saying, come to our basketball stuff. And they put on great events. There's a phenomenal combination of basketball and Christian hip-hop. Some people think that's an oxymoron, but it isn't. They're very in-your-face lyrics. And native guys doing hip-hop. And we have a skateboard guy who does that kind of thing. So they bring three unforgettable nights to the reservation. But the real story is that's just at that basketball court, which is the center of life for Native young people, all night long you have Native young people. You look out there and you will see people in the team shirts with the local young people. Our team is not hanging out with each other. They are telling their hope stories all around that basketball court after they hear the story of the young men and women. And so I've seen this happen. You know, an Eskimo young woman, I have this picture in my mind, an Eskimo young woman on a reservation in Wisconsin, and she gives her hope story of rape and gang rape and abuse and alcohol as her pain reliever, and how Christ has delivered her and given her a new beginning and finally made her feel safe. And the young girls start lining up to talk to her for the rest of the night. And they're going, that's my story. Well, she lives like, 1,500, 2,000 miles away? But the stories are the same on every reservation and reserve. And so when the team tells their stories, people go, that's my story, except for the hope part. And that's what creates this interest in Jesus that they never thought they would have. And so that's why when finally a public opportunity is given for Native young people who may have individually said, I want your Jesus, and prayed to open their heart to this savior who has more power than anything they've ever encountered on the reservation in their lives. When they do that, they may do it privately, but then there's an opportunity to publicly declare that. And, Neil, this is not a real popular thing to do. We're right in the middle of the reservation. They got all of their homies around them. And but a Native young man will be given that, or a Native young woman will give that opportunity. And it is amazing. Usually, almost instantaneously, with no hesitation, there's just this surge. I mean, it would bring tears to the eyes of 400 years of missionaries to Indian people to see this breakthrough happening. They just surge forward to say, I am publicly choosing Christ. There's no way tomorrow morning to say you didn't, because everybody saw you do it. I'll give you an example of why I think even the people who are from the traditional religion of a tribe welcome the team. One of the reservations we're going to this summer, the last time we were there, the man who invited us, the Native man who made all the arrangements, we always have partners that are going to do the follow-up where we go, and he went to the leader of the traditional religion on his reservation. So I just wanted you to know who's coming. He thought it would be best to anticipate what objections might arise. And he showed him a picture of this team, and it's all Native young people. He says, see, these are our kids. Now, he didn't mean his reservation. He meant Native kids. He said, look, these are our kids, and they're coming here, and they're going to talk about their relationship with Christ. But they're drug-free, alcohol-free, sexually pure, making a difference for their people, and they're coming here to help our young people. I just wanted you to know. He kind of held his breath to see what this man who is at the head of the Native religion there, what he would say. And he said, I have been to 300 funerals in the last months here. Many of them have been our young people. He said, if these young men and women can keep our kids above ground a little longer, I want them here. That's why there's a desperation across Native communities about their young people. They care. Their hearts are broken, but nothing is working. And there's something unprecedented that they feel and sense when the peace of Christ and the power of Christ shows up on a reservation basketball court. And you may not ever choose to believe in Christ, but you cannot deny the power of what's happened in the lives of these young people. It is stunning.
We're going to hear some more hope stories in a moment and invite Ron to pray as we prepare for the Warrior Leadership Summit and this outreach across the reservations, across our nation, empowering the most effective messengers to go with the most important message, the most desperate young people in some of the most unreached places in this country. Ron Hutchcraft talking about On Eagle's Wings, this marvelous outreach. I encourage you to get more on details on it. Sign up, become a prayer partner. HopeForNativeAmerica.com is the website. HopeForNativeAmerica.com. We'll talk more about the hope with Ron Hutchcraft in just a minute. Stay tuned. Talking about a summer of hope this summer. This could be the summer of hope for many Native American youth who are struggling, facing odds that most of us would just probably would crumble under. And yet God's power is going forth through some committed young men and women who are willing to go back to the reservation, share their hope story, and invite others to follow Christ. Ron Hutchcraft, a veteran youth and family minister and president of Ron Hutchcraft Ministries, a visiting faculty member for the Billy Graham School of Evangelism. He's written a number of books. You hear him on the radio broadcast, A Word with You. We're talking today about the Summer Hope and On Eagle's Wings, this powerful ministry to Native Americans, First Nation youth. Ron, I'm interested just on having you talk a little bit about how new believers are nurtured in really what's probably kind of a hostile environment. As you say, in the summit, it's a lot about teaching them to stand for Christ and stand alone. What happens after the bus packs up and leaves to the next reservation?
Great question. And, you know, let me just real quickly say that if you're asking the question as a listener, what can I do here? I've said that prayer is the most powerful thing you can do. That's where you get that HopeForNativeAmerica.com prayer kit. But I also want to say that these young men and women are sponsored to go. These warriors who are making a historic difference, they have to be sponsored to go. They don't have money to. They don't have anybody to go to raise money for their trip. And so we have warrior scholarships, and we don't have them all yet for the 60 team members. And you might want to be a part of that. If you want to pick up a day or a week or a month, and there's a way that you can actually go to that same website, and you can donate toward a warrior scholarship. Every dollar of that will go to empower a Native young person to go to their people this summer. So you can't go, and if you did, it wouldn't make the difference that they will. But you can send, and they're not going to be able to go without senders. There's actually a matching gift right now, Neil, $54,000. We have about a third of it in 5 days before we leave for the Summer of Hope. So anybody who's able to give right now, what that means is their gift will be doubled because somebody's going to get that same amount up to a total of $54,000. So that's at that same HopeForNativeAmerica.com site. Now, you ask about the ongoing discipleship. Everywhere we go, we make sure that there are partners, and there are caring Christians on these reservations. And missionaries as well, but they don't know a lot about youth ministry. So we prepare them before we go in. We have a big manual called Preparing for the Harvest that gives them actually follow-up events that they do within a week of the team leaving. And they are held on the same basketball court. They are the same kind of community youth event, not a church meeting. That wouldn't get a whole lot there. But a community youth event, they put this on. They start to put on a series of those, and they have what we call four summer nights that helps to sustain that movement. We want it to be a movement, not a moment. They integrate with our team, the local leaders, and they hand out the pizza, and they help give out the snow cones, and they help officiate at the 3-on-3 tournament. So we tied them in, and they now become on Eagles Wings local when the team leaves. And we've identified them with this memorable visit, and identify them with this team that has such credibility. And so they now have an opportunity to turn that momentum into a movement by, first of all, some momentum sustaining events. With if they don't have hope stories of their own to tell, we have videos that they can show of team members, and they're powerful. And then there's an ongoing strategy to develop a small group strategy that comes out of the events. And so they're given an eight-week training course on video of reaching and discipling Native American young people. And at Warrior Leadership Summit, we have a whole battle council track called Warrior Generation, which equips the leaders who brought the kids there to be able to then pick up what happens at Warrior Leadership Summit and make it into a year of youth ministry. So I could tell you some amazing stories of youth ministries born. And then not only that, but our team members, something happens to them. These young warriors on the team get a taste of God using them, and that they can make a difference for their people that they've never seen anybody make. If you're an Indian kid, a lot of Indian kids grow up feeling like they're never going to be able to do anything important. Suddenly, they're finding out they could do something nobody's been able to do. They end up ready to go to a Christian school, and they were even able to help with scholarship staff. We got 25 or so in Christian schools this year trained to become lifetime leaders for their people, not just on Eagles Wings team members, but the answer to the prayers for 400 years where too many of the messengers have been like me and not like them. And now you have these young leaders starting to step up. It is, and being trained for it. And now some of them are going back now to the reservations, their own or another one that we have been to. And they are and now going there and bringing youth ministry as they've learned it with On Eagle's Wings right into that reservation on an ongoing basis. It's just it's a whole circle of things that are going on all year long.
You said it's been over 20 years of having this passion, and as it's grown and developed, I mean, obviously the darkness is still dark, but the light, the hope is still there, isn't it?
You know, I have been in some situations where you'd almost feel like you were in a spiritual gunfight at the OK Corral. And I am crying out to God in the bus, praying for these warriors. And as one of them said, in the midst of a very almost violent situation, he said, "Jesus, come down." Not legend. Jesus, come down. Later, he came back to me with tears in his eyes. He said, "He did. He did." And I stood in the door of the bus, quoting a verse over and over again. "Light has come into the world, and the darkness could not overwhelm it." Light has come, and the darkness cannot be stronger than the light. You know, light can vanquish darkness, but darkness cannot put out a light. And so we stand in the light, and we claim the victory that Jesus won on the cross, that has won in many of our lives and made us people we never otherwise could have been, given us a hope we otherwise never would have had. And oh, how we want that for the first Americans, the first people in Canada, the First Nations people. They have waited too long for Jesus. They've waited too long for hope. And together, as God's people of all colors and all our tribes, if we can mobilize and empower Native people to reach Native people, I believe this is a generation that could become the first Jesus generation in Native America.
Amen. Ron, we got about 2 minutes left. I'm wondering if you would just lead us in prayer. We want to encourage everyone to make a point to go to the website hopefornativeamerica.com and sign up to get the prayer kit. You hear about it every day on A Word with You. But Ron, just to take a minute to close our time together and just bring these young dear people before the Lord.
It will be my privilege. Thank you, Lord. I thank you for this sacred hour. I thank you for the heart of Neil as a host and the hearts of people who are listening. I thank you for those who have, in a long time ago or just now, opened their heart to this mission field that we've been so blind to, this opportunity to unleash the love and the power of Christ on the people who have not had the chance we've had. And, Lord, I do pray for the warriors, first of all, that you raise up. You know how they are attacked by our enemy in every possible way, pushing every button from their past. Would you guard them, protect them? We pray that you would strengthen them, fortify them, and do not let one of them fall. You make them lifetime warriors for you, Lord. And then I pray for the prayer warriors who are stepping up. Now, would you just take out of this time together and raise up an army of people who say, "I, for one, will storm the gates of heaven on behalf of the first Americans and the First Nations people. I am going to be a warrior for these people. They will not be off my radar ever again." Lord, protect them. Inspire their prayers. We pray, Lord, that you would raise up an army of Native young people across the continent who would become the messengers of hope to people who have waited far too long. We thank you that even this summer, hope is on the way. And his name is Jesus. And we pray in all the power of that name that binds every force of darkness. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Ron, blessings to you, my friend. And we're looking forward to hearing back later this summer about how God continues to move there. And we're just thankful that there's still this little white guy in the back of the bus praying and leading the charge. So.
I know my position.
Well, what an amazing opportunity, but real challenge too. I mean, if people want to be involved in frontline ministry, this is the way to be part of it. The matching gift opportunity, the sponsorship, the prayer, all of it's so vital. And five days the summit starts, the leadership summit, right?
Yeah, 5 days away.
All right. So remember, over the next week or so, to be praying especially for Ron and the team on Eagle's Wings. Find out more about the prayer opportunity at hopefornativeamerica.com. Hopefornativeamerica.com. Ron Hutchcraft joining us today on Connecting Faith. If you missed part of the show, you can catch it again online at myfaithradio.com.